Back in 1994, there were two Americans who were invited by the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics in their prisons, in their businesses, their fire and police departments, even in orphanages. Clearly, that was pre-Putin Russia. They were also told they could teach from their perspective of faith. So they went as witnesses to the light, as John the Baptist would say, to testify to the light so that all could believe through him. They believed that Jesus, the true light that enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, just as John testified. Now, the experience of these two in a Russian orphanage proved to be particularly illuminating. Now, according to one of them, an amazing thing happened while they were at one of the orphanages. Now, it was a large one, where there were about 100 boys and girls residing, children who had been abandoned or abused or just left in the care of a government-run program. But one of the Americans tells the following story of what happened when the holiday season approached and it was time for the orphans to hear for the first time the Christmas story. The first person says, "We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem and finding no room in the inn. The couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger, just as we have up front here." Throughout the story, the kids and the orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened, some on the edges of their seats, trying to grasp and understand each word of that Christmas story. Well, when the story was over, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard that they could make a crude manger out of for themselves. And they were given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins, because there was no colored paper. The person actually had to bring this into Russia with them. Well, the children tore the paper and laid strips in the manger for straw from that little piece of yellow paper. And there were small squares of flannel that one of the women who had an old nightgown cut up so that they would be able to have a baby's blanket for the manger. And the people had brought with them little baby dolls, those little plastic ones you can buy all the way from the United States just for this activity. Well, the orphans were busy assembling their mangers, and the two Americans walked among them to see if they needed any help. And it all went well until they got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old, and he had finished his project. And as he looked at the little boy's manger, they were startled to see that there weren't one but two babies in the manger. So quickly, the American called the translator over so he could talk to the little boy and asked why there were two babies in the manger. While crossing his arms in front of him and looking at his completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. And for such a young boy who had heard the Christmas story just once, he related the happenings pretty accurately until it came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad-lib the story from there. You know how kids are. He made up his own ending to the story, and he said, "When Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everyone else. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good enough gift. And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift that anyone ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and told me I could stay with him for always." Now, as little Misha finished his story, he began to cry because this orphan had found someone in this Christmas story, in the testimony of these two Americans who would never abandon or abuse him, someone who would stay with him and he could stay with for always. One of the names that we call Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In this Advent season, we discover and remember and cherish, like that orphan Misha, that the God who came in Jesus Christ will never abandon us or abuse us, but will stay with us for always. And that Jesus, that Emmanuel, that Son of God, who promises to be with us always, will be there no matter what. When that biopsy comes back bad, when that final exam is an F and not that A we were expecting, when our spouse leaves and doesn't return, when that dream of success in our job is once again downsized and eliminated, when that late night long distance phone call doesn't bring news of a birth but a death, and when our longing for family harmony is shattered by one more fight or argument, when our desire for companionship is met with another lonely holiday season, when we hoped that what was supposed to be forever turned out to be not long enough, there, Emmanuel, God with us, is. And in those situations, it is our Lord Emmanuel who stands with us, because we're never without companionship or comfort or support. We are never alone because of Emmanuel, God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Now that all sounds good, right? And as I was writing the sermon, it felt so very good to think about God with us. And rightly so, especially during this season of Advent when we remember that name, Emmanuel, God with us. But then I thought about it a little more, and I realized something very important, as in life-changing, something we should never forget. And it's a lesson that little Misha teaches us. While God with us is important, we also need to remember to be with God. Now, I don't know what the fancy Greek word for that is, us to be with God, like God with us. But it's crucial that we be with God too, to crawl in alongside that baby in the manger and keep warm. Because our relationship with Christ is a two-way street, a give and take, something that we need to work at. So why don't we do such a good job of crawling in and keeping Jesus warm? What is it that threatens to separate us from God too often? I think part of it is blindness. We simply don't see the manger sometimes. Sometimes we're so busy looking for comfort and joy that we look for all of that in all of the wrong places, clubs and classes and parties and programs and internet and TV, our jobs, family activities. Sure, there's certainly some good to be found in all of those places, but they distract us from the one place where we can find unconditional acceptance and unending peace. And that's at the manger. It's only in a close relationship with Christ that we discover how valuable we are as children of God and how valued we are. And folks, that's a good testimony right there. And sometimes we're just too busy and we don't have time, right? This Advent season in particular, there's so many things going on, so many things to worry about, and the shopping and the decorating. You know, it's kind of ironic, isn't it, that all of the demands of Advent prevent us from taking time to focus on the reason for the season, if I could borrow that cliche for a moment, even during COVID times when we should be less distracted because there's less going on and less we can do. How many ways can you still find to be too busy leading up to Christmas? What if we just took one moment to slow down and rest And then there's doubt. Sometimes we don't really believe. And that's the dirty little secret nobody wants to talk about, but it's true. You know, the world is such a violent place, and victory seems to go to those with the biggest arsenals and the most ruthless tactics. And what chance does a baby in a manger have against all of that? It's not a fair fight. And yet, not one single life has changed the world more than the life of that one little Bethlehem baby. A life that challenges us, each and every one of us, to look beyond this world to the kingdom of God. There's always room for one more baby in that manger. Yes, even that one. If we're just willing to crawl in, if we're willing to make that trip to Bethlehem, we will find the one who will stay with us on our journey every step of the way and will guide us to that everlasting kingdom, one filled with love and peace and justice. And if we give this baby comfort and support, we will find for ourselves true comfort. But there's more to Advent than just personal peace. It challenges us to testify to the power of Christ in our own lives and tell the world about what this Emmanuel is up to. It's recommendation time. And that's what little Misha did when he put those two babies in the manger. And it's what John the Baptist did when he came as a witness to testify to the light of Christ so that all might believe through him. John has one function in Jesus' gospel and one function alone, and that is to be the witness, the recommender of Jesus. There's a lesson in all of that for us. Our challenge as Christians is never to just stay close to God and enjoy that forgiveness and acceptance and peace. We need to explain to the world why we are choosing that. And Jesus invites you to join him in the manger. Enjoy him always and share him in all ways. Maybe it'll be through giving to those in need. And I will tell you, I'll have the numbers in a few weeks, our final numbers, but you people have really, really, truly gone above and beyond in terms of Bellevue Together and the Bellevue Food Pantry. For such a miserable year, you guys have been amazing. Or maybe you'll promise to pray in a consistent, disciplined way for somewhere or something in the world. Or maybe when things get back to a little more normal, you'll volunteer to teach children or youth in Sunday school. I know that makes Linda jump up and down right there. Or you'll find creative and compassionate ways to reach out to our neighborhood. Or you'll think about how best to live out your faith in your workplace. Or you'll include in your New Year's resolution a commitment to daily prayer and Bible study. Or perhaps you'll talk to family or friends about what Jesus means to you and why you feel a need to be close to him. So the invitation has been extended by that baby in the manger. Please come join me. Come on in and rest a while. So how will you RSVP? Amen.